You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Robert Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as England's Matt Wallace wins the Hero Indian Open at the first extra hole.
Ecstatic, just played some amazing golf and this is a proper win for me now. I mean, with the people that were coming up behind me, it was real class players, and Beef's putt on the last, that should have gone in. But obviously it was my day today and I'm just super happy.
So Andrew Johnston missed out in the playoff, but he's not too disheartened.
I was happy that I managed to put a good score on the ball today, and yeah, slightly frustrated. I had exactly the same putt in normal round. I didn't think it broke that much, and I hit a lovely putt there and it didn't go in, so that's all right. Happens, and it's been a good week.
There's more from both Wallace and Johnston as we analyse the action from India. And you'll also hear about a dramatic dash across Delhi and a phone call that made someone's dreams come true. Plus, there's news of success for England's Paul Casey after he held off a certain T. Woods to win in the United States just 3 weeks ahead of the Masters. Hello, it's Dan Roebuck and Robert Lee on the Race to Dubai show this week. Rob, how are you?
Good, Dan. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. The Hero Indian Open won by Matt Wallace, a second European Tour title with that dramatic playoff victory over Andrew Johnston at the Hero Indian Open. Matt is proving to be something of a consistent performer.
Well, do you know, funnily enough, when we came back from the Middle East, I was just chit-chatting idly at the conveyor belt once we'd landed back from Qatar, and he was talking about his plans coming up, and he said he was going to go to India and then time his run into the sort of big tournaments in the spring. So I think to go there and win like he did, absolutely fantastic for him. Second win is validation. You win the first time, you always wonder, was it a fluke? When you win the second time, you think, yeah, you know, I do kind of belong. And well done to him. Still go back to his time before he won the first time in Portugal, when he won six times in
the
season.
Tour, yeah.
Not on the Challenge Tour, on the Alps Tour.
Alps Tour, sorry.
And, you know, he was winning Tuppence Halfpenny. It was really hard going, but what a grounding. Getting out there and amongst young players and trying to win. Trying to win, that's the thing. And when you try to win, you do win, you get the feeling of it. He can carry that forward, and he's done that with his career, and his big career on the European Tour. So well done, Matt Wallace. It wasn't a straightforward thing, though, in the end. It certainly wasn't.
It wasn't, because it was a playoff, of course, between himself and Andrew Johnston. The playoff came because Beef managed to birdie the 17th. They both parred the last, but in the playoff, it was the player that took the chances, wasn't it, really, that came out on top?
Well, it's such a demanding tee shot, that last hole in India. If you do take the drive and you hit it a long way like Matt does, you've got to hit it like an arrow, and he did. Fired it miles down. A great par five, risk and reward. So far down that he could hit a four iron, and he hit that miles as well, but he found the putting surface and was able to two-putt for the victory with Beef narrowly missing out. It would have been great for Beef to win, but there's a message in there for Beef as well. He was across in America, and now he comes back to the European Tour. He's found his game again. Sometimes going to America is not the right thing to do. That's all I'm saying.
Of course, Matt Wallace went into the fourth round sharing the overnight lead with Shubhankar Sharma on 7 under par. Andrew Johnston was 2 off the lead on 5 under. Shubhankar Sharma, he's a regular winner on the European Tour this season. He's had a fantastic year, hasn't he? Winning in Joburg, winning in Malaysia. Would he have been the favourite going into the final round,
I think so, yeah. I think he, you know, he led for so long in Mexico, the WGC. It didn't have the last round he wanted. Flew all the way across to India because it's his home event. He was committed. And after a poor first day, he played some wonderful golf, 64 in there in the first three rounds, to get himself in a great spot to win. And, of course, the crowds would have wanted him to win. As a home player, didn't work out for him. And maybe fatigue, maybe time change, eventually your body settles down and it catches up at some point. He didn't have the last round he would have wanted. But certainly, he's only 21. He's here to stay.
Is he a player now that just looks for the wins? I remember speaking to you a few weeks ago and we talked about certain players who are not interested in top 10s, top 5s anymore. Brandon Grace was the guy we were talking about, just going for success.
Tyrrell Hatton's another one of those.
Yeah, is Shubhankar Sharma now one of those players that he was going for his shots on the last day? He was trying to make gains rather than just trying to think, well, this will be another top 10 and my trajectory is keeping going on the right path. Has he changed his psyche, do you think?
I don't know what his psyche was to start with.
Even subconsciously.
Oh, I don't know what his psyche was to start with. All I do know is if you can win a couple of times early on the European Tour as a 21-year-old, you're pretty special. So, you know, we're looking at a prodigious young Indian talent. And if the game takes off in India, which it might well do, if it becomes more accessible to the middle classes, then we could be seeing a lot of Indian players, good young Indian players that swing the club well, coming onto the world scene. Shubhankar Sharma is definitely one of those.
Great playing by Matt Wallace and Andrew Johnston over the course of the final round. Just the slip on the 16th by Matt Wallace just allowed Beef to put a little bit of pressure on. And there was pressure on Matt down the stretch. He only made one birdie on the homeward nine.
Yeah, but Beef was playing ahead of Matt Wallace. And Matt kind of had to hang in there. He saw his lead whittle down from 3-2 to 1 to all square. And then he had to, as you say, go. He wouldn't have wanted a playoff. He would have wanted to close it out in 72 holes. Once you're the guy that's leading, you don't want to go playoff. But you know what? If you have to and you have to do it dirty, then that's what he did. And he was prepared to dig in there and hit two. It will be two of the best shots he's ever hit in a row in that situation. The drive and the 4-iron to 18 was just magnificent. So he'll take a lot of solace from that. And anyone that's finding form when they get to sort of March, it's a great time to be playing well, because you're then looking at, if you're not going to get to the Masters, you're then looking at PGA Championship and the meat of the European season. So it's a great time to be feeling good about your game. You don't want to be here at this point looking for it, and he's not.
Just on Andrew Johnston, is he more comfortable playing on the European Tour, do you think, with players that he knows that are his peers rather than the PGA Tour?
I think some, you know, for European players, go at the PGA Tour. It doesn't work. It's historically, you can look back at a whole load of great players that it's never worked out for. Playing two tours is notoriously difficult. And Beef's made his name. He won in a brilliant win at Sotto Grande, made his name. And of course, he's a character and the game loves a character. People love him. He's very popular. But sometimes you can get a bit carried away with that and forget why you're there in the first place. And the reason why he's there is because he's a really, really good golfer. And I think seeing the Beef getting back to doing what he does best is all the other stuff can come along. Certainly make the most out of your personality. Certainly milk that. And that's quite right. But you must not lose sight of what you're there for in the first place, and that is to win golf tournaments.
Well, he was
I'm glad to see the Beef playing well.
Yeah, he was excellent down the stretch. He cut the lead from 3-2 and then to 1. Wallace had a wonderful long putt up the ridge on the 15th, agonisingly lip out. Wallace's lead was gone after that par 3 16th that we talk about. He left his tee shot short in the rough and flew his second over the green into a bunker, doing well to get up and down, drop to drop, just a single shot. In the end, they went to the playoff, as we know, and Matt Wallace was just terrific on that first playoff hole, crushed it down the first extra hole and managed to beat Andrew Johnston in a playoff. We can hear from the hero Indian Open champion now. Here's what Matt Wallace had to say after his win at the DLF Golf and Country Club.
Ecstatic, just played some amazing golf, and Beef really had a great round today, and because I was playing fantastic and I thought I might have been a few more clear, and that bogey on 16, well, it made us tied after we birdied 17, and I was kind of in trouble a little bit because 17 and 18 are tough, but I played great. I hit some really good shots, and that playoff was, I pumped it down there on the last and it went a long way, and then a 4-iron went even further than we thought it would, so I was obviously jacked up a bit, and to hit two shots like that is exactly why I played the game. I just said to Dave at the start of the day, we're going to try and play like it's round one, not even worry about the leaders, just try and be the best score on the day, and we just played flawless. We played great golf and we attacked and we just was in great shape.
A fantastic front nine. You came a little dilemma on 10. Just talk us through that and what momentum that gave you going into the back nine.
Well, I didn't hit a great second shot. It was the one bad swing where I just kind of like tried to float it up there because it was downwind, and I should have really played an aggressive shot, and it came up short, spanned down the hill, and then Dave said pitch it all the way instead of bump and run. So I pitched it all the way and it went in dead weight, and it was a brilliant chip. Great timing. It calmed me down. Played some nice golf from there on in, being leader, like I could aim for middle of the green and stuff. Just coming down the last there, it was surreal. It was hard work, and then to hit two shots like that was fantastic.
Finally, was that one of the best shots of your career, that approach into the 18 in the playoff?
Well, it has to be, doesn't it? I mean, this is a proper win for me now. I mean, Portugal was great leading from there, and this time I was tied lead, and with the people that were coming up behind me, it was some real class players, and Beef's putt on the last, that should have gone in. But obviously it was my day today and I'm just super happy.
So the Indian Open winner there, Matt Wallace, you mentioned his brilliant displays on the Alps Tour back in 2016, 5 in a row, 6 all told. Then he jumps up to the Challenge Tour. He wins again on the Challenge Tour. Now he's a 2-time winner on the European Tour. Is it that simple? What's the quality gap between Alps Tour, Challenge Tour and European Tour?
Do you know, anytime you play professional golf and a win, you can take a win from anywhere and gauge it. It's a win. Doesn't matter who you're playing against. Doesn't matter where you're playing. If you win, you win. You come out on top. That builds confidence and that builds inner knowledge that you know you can do it. And even on the Alps Tour, which is sub-challenge tour, which is sub-European tour, it doesn't matter. You get the winning feeling. If you can win on the Alps Tour or the Challenge Tour or the Euro Pro Tour or anywhere, you can win on the big tour.
But it's unusual, isn't it, to go from effectively third division, if we want to call it that, to the top flight in such a short space of time and continue to win.
Well, you say that, but because you found yourself there, that doesn't tell you what sort of a player you are. And obviously he was, to win six times, told you that he was
better than the
Alps Tour. Better than the other guys he was playing against, without a doubt. It's not that he's improved exponentially from there. It's because that's the player he is. He is a really good player. And Dave McNeely's his caddy. He's got a really good caddy on the bag who somehow managed to tell his wife with a few days to go that he was going for a boys' trip to Sri Lanka before moving on to India to caddy for Matt. So Mrs. McNeely, if you're listening, the reason Dave went there, it was purely about preparation. He wasn't there gallivanting about and having a few, you know, a bit of sauce with his fellow caddies that went there. He wasn't there doing that. No, he was there mentally preparing for the win that was to come. And now you are going to reap the benefits of David's prodigious preparation.
What about the future there? If you're suggesting that he was too good for the Alps Tour, which he obviously was, likewise the Challenge Tour, what is the ceiling for Matt Wallace?
No, don't give yourself a ceiling. Don't give yourself a ceiling. Just keep going. Just keep improving. Just little improvements. Don't look to make massive improvements. Big swing changes. Change my technique. Just look to make little improvements as you go along.
Ryder Cup?
Why not? Why not? Why can't he play Ryder Cup? There's a lot of time to go between now and a lot of money to be earned between now and when the cutoff comes late in the summer. But if Matt Wallace continues to play like he is, and it takes a lot of consistency to play Ryder Cup, it won't just be one big event. You'll have to keep it going, you know, punch out the top tens and what have you. But have I seen him play? Yes. Have I watched him hit it? Yes. Do I think he's good enough? Yes.
Well, Wallace was the only player in the field who was under par for each of their rounds this week. Up to 14th on the Race to Dubai rankings and 94th from 152nd in the world rankings. Next up, we will get the thoughts of Andrew Johnston, who, despite just missing out in the playoff, he's happy with a definite upturn in his form.
100%, yeah, I'm very happy the way I've played this year. Yeah, last year was a tough year and the start's been good, so I just got to keep pushing on and keep working hard. Play really well today, like I did Friday, so I was happy that I managed to put a good score on the ball today and force a playoff. Yeah, slightly frustrated. I had exactly the same putt in normal round and I didn't think it broke that much and I hit a lovely putt there and it didn't go in. So that's all right. Happens and it's been a good week.
I mean, 6-under is a great, great score around here. Did you have a number in your mind when you teed off and were you aware of the situation when you were going round?
I didn't have a score. I just wanted to kind of see, because anything can happen out there. You know, as Matt said yesterday, you can make six anywhere on that golf course. So I just tried to play my own game and I knew I was a couple behind. And when I birdied 17, I got to the green on 18. I realised that we were tired. So I kind of kept a little wire on it, but not too much.
Were you tempted to go for it on 18 in normal time?
I hit a few in practice and I didn't like the yardage and that. And it felt like it's just setting me down the left towards the traps a lot of the time. And I said it's a percentage golf course and stick to it. I've been hitting the wedges well. I've been putting well. So stick to my game plan. And that's what I went for.
Andrew Johnston, second place in the Indian Open. He was 12th in Oman. He was 9th. In Abu Dhabi. Is the beef back, Rob? We've touched on it already, yep. But what do you think?
I think I'm really pleased to see him playing well again. I think probably he's realised that he's got to kind of rededicate himself. Because do you know what? On this tour, on the European tour, to get to a certain place, you have to work so hard. But that's just one part of the equation. The hardest part of the equation is maintenance, is to stay where you are. Once you've made those improvements and you get to a level, just to maintain that and stay at that position is really, really difficult. It takes a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice. And I think that's dawned on beef now. And we're probably going to see a proper beef 2018.
Do you think he regrets playing on the PGA Tour for you?
No, I don't think he regrets it. I think it was an adventure. And he's still going to play some this year. I'm sure he will. But you can do and achieve what you want. You don't have to go at the PGA Tour. If you get inside the world's top 50, you play your WGCs and the majors and a couple of invites, that's enough. I think you've got to realise it doesn't suit everybody to relocate. Everybody doesn't feel at home when they have a new home, away from their circle of friends, which you come back to. once you come off tour. If you play for 2 or 3 weeks and then you come back to your home environment, like he would, with his friends, with his family around him, you can't replicate that when you go and move everything to the States. Unless you have a wife, your kids, the in-laws come out and the whole thing, you can't replicate that, you know, my life away from the tour. It all becomes the tour. And I think that's why sometimes going lock, stock to the United States, I understand it for Luke Donald, married an American girl, he's got ready-made family there, and others have done similar things. Graham McDowell, same story. But for Beef, I think as a single guy, it's not easy to go to the States and you have your manager. I mean, you'd be, after a while, sick of looking at your manager, sick of looking at your caddy. It's difficult.
Well, Siwan Kim looked to be in contention right up to the end. He made birdies on the 2nd, 4th, 7th, 9th and 11th, but a bogey on the last ended his hopes, finishing 3 shots back in 3rd place after a 4-under par final round.
Difficult course, and I had a number in mind this morning, and I pretty much did what I thought. 4-under. I thought I'll have a pretty good chance to win, and obviously, with scores being that low, it's not the case, but today I was just really good off the tee. I made some great putts, great up and downs. Hopefully it'll get my confidence up a little bit, especially playing difficult course like this. And hopefully I'll continue to play like this and I'll be fine.
Don't know too much about the American, 29 years old, big guy, 6'1", hits it out there, has played on the Challenge Tour and the Asian Tour. I think that's his best European Tour finish, Rob.
That's a breakthrough for him, really. And you know, we talked about the value and the merit of playing on Challenge Tour and other tours around the world. When you do come to the big tour and you then find that you can compete on what is a really good test this week, Kim's going to be thrilled with that. And don't start making targets for yourself. Just go play. And if he keeps doing that and keeps performing like he did this week, he'll have a lot of confidence from that. And you need that as a player. You need a result, a performance, something that makes you think, do you know what? Yeah, I can do this.
One of those tied fourth was Pablo Larrazabal, but what was the Spaniard thinking when he was 6-under for his final round through 13?
Well, but I had it in my hands. Play 3-over par the last 3 holes yesterday and 3-over par the last 5 holes today. So, you know, it hurts, but we have to keep it going. If we keep working like this, Raúl and I, we're going to win no one event. We're going to win many. If I put 11 under par on the leaderboard and they have 2 or 3 to play, then it will be very tough to play for them the last 3. So, but it's like it is. This is golf. This is the best game in the world. And to finish fourth in the Indian Open is great.
He is getting close to a win, isn't he? Since the miscut in Dubai, 3rd, 44th. 4th and 4th again, so 3 top 4s in his last 4 events, Rob.
Much more like it, and I like watching Pablo Larrazabal play. I mean, he's got a little bit of swash and buckle about him. Almost reminds me, there's a hint of Seve the way he plays. You know, kind of individual swings. He's not like a Justin Rose that repeats. He's always trying to feel it and find it, and yeah, it's fun to watch. Good to see him playing some good stuff again.
He opened with a 67 on Thursday, a remarkable score given what happened beforehand.
My lovely new iPhone went back to Spanish time over the night, and I woke up at the hotel 38 minutes before my tea time. Thanks to Dorothy, the secretary of the European Tour, that called me to her room and said, Pablo, you're playing in 38 minutes and you must wake up and go to a 10th tee. And yeah, I woke up, 10 second shower. When I ran, I had a courtesy car waiting for me, and I arrived to the course 25 minutes before my tee time, and my heart was pumping big time. I think the courtesy car made a world record from the hotel to the golf course in a couple minutes. It was really wild, and you know the Delhi's traffic is quite tough. So I got lucky that we didn't have traffic, so I could reach the 10th tee on time. And after hitting 10 balls on the range, I told my caddy that I had to stop. I had to stop because my heart was as nervous as ever. The 10th tee shot is quite scary. So, you know, I tried to thin one in the middle of the fairway and to try to keep it going. I drink like 15 or 20 bottles of water just to try to calm down. But yeah, it was, I love this golf course. But yeah, I played decent. 9 birdies is quite unbelievable.
Who needs preparation? You can just get straight to the golf course and just play straight away. Any stories of missing tee times that you can remember?
Think about Rory McIlroy, the miracle at Medina.
Yeah,
Rory gets his timings all wrong. Luckily, finds a policeman in the lobby of the hotel. The old light goes on, and he screams his way at the golf course. Just gets there in time, and the rest is history. I've never missed a tee time. I was very close at the Q School one year because we were playing Massan and Montpellier, so a two-course venue, but not two courses at the same place. And my clubs were in the clubhouse at Montpellier. They'd been there all week because that's where I was staying. The last round was at Massan, and of course, it's a very early start, even if you're going well, which I was in the tournament, and it was all locked up at Montpellier. I couldn't get into the clubhouse, couldn't get my clubs out. Bang, 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 bang. There's a caretaker in there sleeping. Nothing. Bang, 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 bang. The woman who was running the coach company said, right, I'm off. So she left me, took the players to the course, and I'm still stranded with no lift, no clubs, and frankly, I haven't got a prayer now. Time ticking down. I'm going to miss my card, and Keith Williams, God bless him, he used to work for the European Tour. He was staying there as well, and I saw him. I said, Keith, look, got my clubs in there. He says, I'm going to Massan, I'll give you a lift. I said, yeah, I still need the clubs. Eventually, the guy came around. He must have been in some sort of catatonic coma. He woke up, bang, 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 got in the sliding doors, got my clubs into the back of the car, all the way to the tee. I had time to hit two putts and go straight on the tee.
And what happened?
I played great. I shot 69 or something in a breezy day. I played great.
Got your card?
I did get my card, but just like Pablo Larrazábal, you know, zero preparation, horrendous, here we go. And sometimes, because you're amped up, you're able to produce a performance.
Well, another man who didn't have too much preparation because he was flying all the way back from Mexico was, of course, the joint leader after the third round. That was India's Shubhankar Sharma. He had a stunning start to the year, but a 75 on Sunday was not what he was looking for.
Disappointed. Obviously, didn't play too well, but even though I started really well, made a few bad swings. Today, I think I dropped 9 shots or something like that and made a lot of birdies, but, you know, just dropped too many shots. But in the end, it's all right. I mean, I was really enjoyed the tournament. I had a lot of support and I just want to thank everyone for coming out.
I think a share of 7th will be enough to see you into the match play. Your thoughts on that?
I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, I will get in and really looking forward to the match play. Haven't played match play in a while. The last time I played, I won the All India right here in India. That was six years back, but I love match play and it should be nice. You know, disappointments are a part of the game, and it's just going to make me stronger, and the next time I'm in this kind of a situation, I will do better for sure.
Birdied two of the first four holes, but three doubles in that 75. You're not going to win with three doubles in your final round.
No, but a tough golf course, and if you're slightly out of kilter around there, we heard from Pablo Larrazábal how, despite making loads of birdies, there were still mistakes on the card. It was a very difficult golf course to be mistake-free, error-free. And, you know, you chuck a couple of doubles in the final round, it's not going to be your day. That was the story for the Indian player.
So not a great Sunday for Shubhankar Sharma, but it was a pretty great Tuesday.
I actually got a call from Mr. Buzzy Johnson, senior director of the Masters tournament. And, you know, he gave me a call and he said, you know, congratulations on your great play this season. You've been playing well. And, you know, as soon as I got the call, I was thinking probably he's going to invite and give me an invitation to the Masters. And then, you know, the next line was, we'd like to invite you to the Masters. And just told him that you made my day. It's obviously been my dream to get to the Masters. And, you know, I still, on my phone, my lock screen, I have the invitation as the wallpaper. So, yeah, it's fantastic.
Shubhankar Sharma will be playing at Augusta. Has he got the game to prosper there? It's going to be overwhelming for him, surely, Rob. He's played so well on the European Tour. How is he going to approach Masters Week?
I think just go and enjoy it. For the first time you go there, it's so awe-inspiring. You come off the Washington Road and you turn into Magnolia Drive and it's just different. There's a delineation. You do realise you've arrived at somewhere that's probably, it definitely is unique in the world of golf. It's a bubble. Once you go inside those gates at Augusta National, you're in a bubble. You've got the members walking around in green jackets. They wear those proudly. You've got the players that are so pumped up to be there. It's special. It's invitation. For so many reasons, it's magical. You've got the same people that end up in the same seat and the same spot every single year. That's where they go. It's almost like dead man's shoes to get a daily ticket there. You can get tickets. There are trips that, I mean, I'm sure you've been.
I've never been. I'm waiting for the ticket from it. I'm waiting for the plus one.
The plus one?
Yeah, from you.
Yeah, I'm working there this year. Again,
that's what I mean.
Sky
yeah,
Sports,
you know,
but,
plus one. I'm Rob Lee's plus one.
Do you know what they do there at Augusta, which is incredible? Mm-hmm. If they see something that needs doing, by the time you turn up the next year, it's done.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how big the project is.
Okay.
The new practice ground.
Yeah, done.
The media centre, done. And the media centre that I saw last year that they built, specifically for the world's press, it was something that you probably haven't got as good in NASA. The concourse where all the writers are, there's probably 300 to 400 berths, all in a semicircle, all tilted so they can see the massive screens at the front. Everyone's got two computers in every little booth. It's extraordinary. They did that in 1 year.
Plenty of space then for this NASA-type thing.
Well, it's not so much space. I mean, if they need space, they buy some more space. They keep nicking chunks off the Augusta Country Club, which, by the way, I went to the Augusta Country Club. That is a beautiful, beautiful golf course right next door to it.
Top 10 from the Hero Indian Open, Rob.
Top 10. I'll do a Richard Boxall and announce them in reverse order. Aaron Rye, Yost Loughton and Gino Choi from Korea all tied for ninth. In seventh, it was Stephen Gallagher and Shubhankar Sharma, who we've spoken about. Emiliano Grillo was the day one leader. The Argentine finished sixth on his own. Two were fourth in the form of Pablo Larrazábal and Matthias Schwab. Siwon Kim was third. Andrew Beef Johnson was second. And Matt Wallace was your winner. That is your top 10. Actually, to be accurate, your top 11.
Predictions from last week. It is presenter versus co-presenter. A reminder, two picks each. One pick has to be from outside the top 50 in the final 2017 R2D standings. 20 points for a winner, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, minus 5 for a missed cut. Rob, you were alongside Jamie Spence last week. Obviously, in the presenter chair, you went for Scott Jamieson and Julian Suri, who both missed the cut, so that's minus 10.
Thank you.
Jamie went for Anirban Lahiri, who was tied 34th, so you don't get anything for that, but there's no minus either. And also SSP Chaurasia, who missed the cut, minus 5. So minus 5 for the co-presenter, who's now on 0, and the presenter is on 80.
Thank you.
So, you know, I mean, I've had two winners. I don't know what you've actually done to get 80 points for the presenter.
I've had a lot of points.
Really?
Yes, I stacked them up the week before.
Really?
Yes, indeed.
Really? Because that's not what I heard on last week's pod.
So, all right, well, let's have a little wager then. Your points versus my points.
Oh, but I don't do it every week.
Well, I don't do it every week, plainly, because you do it.
Pro rata?
You can, yeah, we'll go pro rata.
Pro rata,
yeah.
Do you want an even five over the course of the season?
No, over the course of the last 5 years, let's go pro rata.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, excellent.
Absolutely, we can work that out.
What's your next point?
My next point is to move on to the Fantasy Race to Dubai game.
Oh, yes.
We can give congratulations to listener Michael Nutter, who scored the most points in the show's mini league. Magnus Dulke still leads the way at the top. In the global standings, Paul Wilson registered the most points last week, while Tom Barrett is out in front overall. Of course, you can join in. Go to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. Pick your team. And then, if you want to join our private league, you must enter the PIN, which is lowercase VW, uppercase R, lowercase JGR, uppercase JN, and lowercase Y. Let's get to the Race to Dubai top 10, Rob.
So leading the Race to Dubai is Shubhankar Sharma, Tommy Fleetwood second, Tyrrell Hatton third, Rafa Cabrera-Bello is fourth. Then it's Kiradek Afibanrat, Hao Tong Lee, Jorge Campillo, Chris Paisley, Rory McIlroy, and Dylan Fratelli rounds out the top 10. But the thing to notice about those 10 players is that Shubhankar Sharma has played 10 tournaments. The only other player to have played as many tournaments as Shubhankar is Aaron Rye, and he is the next 10 person in 76th spot. So between the first guy and the guy in 76, no other person in that Race to Dubai standings has played 10 tournaments.
Well, in other news, England's Paul Casey beat Tiger Woods and Patrick Reed by a shot to win his second PGA Tour title at the Valspar Championship. The 40-year-old, whose only previous PGA Tour title came in 2009, carded the joint lowest score of the day with a 6-under par 65 to finish on 10-under.
It means a lot. It's been too long. Very satisfying. Probably more satisfying the fact that it's on a week where Tiger played some good golf and got to see some amazing stuff and hear the roars, and it just was a great week. The buzz, everything about it, the course, I loved it. I played great stuff, so I couldn't be happier. Obviously some errors, but really a flawless week from start to finish. We've been friends and competitors for a long, long time, so yeah, it's the only time he's congratulated me immediately after a victory, so that's something special. Normally it's the other way around. Great experience. I loved his putt on 17. What a putt that was. That was amazing. I thought he was going to hold the one on 18. I'm sure he was disappointed he didn't get the victory. I actually thought he was going to win today before the round started. I thought it would just teed up beautifully for him. And I said a couple of times, I said, if I don't win this thing, I actually want Tiger to win it. I'm glad it's this way around.
He was emotional, wasn't he, after his win, Rob?
Do you know what? He was emotional because it's been a long time, 2009, since he won the Sheld Houston Open. It's a long time for a player like Paul Casey. Yes, in between he's been injured. He's had his sort of natural hiatuses, if you like. But of late, he's been playing some really consistent golf, getting himself in position loads and loads of times, loads of top tens. And he has been, quite frankly, disappointing at the weekends. Last year on the PGA Tour, he was Mr. Thursday. Nobody scored lower on a Thursday than he did. So he'd get off to a really fast start, and then it would all sort of ebb away. Yesterday was a turning point. He played his best golf on the final day in amongst the heat of the competition, and he finished out in a really clutch way. The way he parred 16, 17, and 18, it was the stuff that you've got to do if you want to win. And he posted 10 under par, and with the snake pit to come the last three holes for the players behind, it was always going to be difficult for someone to get past him. So Casey can be really pleased with himself. But I hope that this turning of the page, him getting over the line, can let us see what Paul Casey can really do, because I think he's been holding himself back. I think if he takes the handbrake off now, we might see the real Paul Casey.
Well, Woods needed a birdie on the final hole to force a playoff, but could only manage par for a 1-under-70 finish at 9-under. Patrick Reed bogeyed the 18th to miss out on a playoff after his first putt from the edge of the 18th green failed to get over a ridge and it rolled back to his feet. Reed missed out, as did Woods, but we can hear from the former world number one now as he reflected on his second-place finish.
It was a very good week. I've got a little bit better since Honda last time I played a couple weeks ago, and it was a very difficult week. Tough conditions on a tough golf course, very demanding, and I thought I held up really well.
Best performance by stretch, wasn't it, since his comeback?
I'm telling you, Tiger's back. All the players were buzzed up about it last week. You could hear in Paul Casey, he pretty much spoke about Tiger Woods more than he did himself. It means so much to these players to have Tiger back playing like Tiger can. And it was great on the range. Patrick Reed wears black trousers and a red shirt like Tiger does. There's a reason he does it. They were both hitting balls next to each other on the range before they went into the final round. And it was a great scene. You know, Patrick Reed's got a lot about himself, except he let himself down that last green. I couldn't believe he putted. Anyway, Tiger Woods, to be back playing like he is, more importantly, fully fit, because that was always the issue. Could Tiger hit those swashbuckling shots that he does when he gets into trouble? He's always done it throughout
his
career.
Which we saw this week just
gone. We saw it this week. You know, trees in the way, arms and hands hitting tree stumps and tough, thick lies that he hurled himself at. And he came through that unscathed. And he was in with a chance of winning all the way through until the last hole. It was extraordinary stuff from Tiger Woods. I mean, what fun for us golf watchers with these tournaments coming up. And he's playing this week at Bay Hill.
Well, I was about to ask you, winner this week? Because he's got a great record there.
8 times at Bay Hill. He's been a phenomenon around there. He's going back to a place that means a lot to him. Arnold Palmer meant a lot to Tiger Woods. Sadly, we lost Arnold last year. And Tiger wasn't fit enough to compete there last year. And he'll be playing almost in Arnie's memory. It'll be a very emotional week for him. If Tiger Woods was to win at Bay Hill, it would be, it's just going to be incredible if he does that. And even if he doesn't, he is now bringing confidence and the knowledge that he is A, fit, B, got a golf game, to his favourite tournament, which is the Masters. That is around the corner.
If he wins this week, or even comes second this week, is he favourite for the Masters?
I'm not saying he's favourite. He was, last night, the bookies had him second favourite. Even if he doesn't win this week, or he misses the cut this week, he is a valid runner and rider at the Masters. And to say that 6 months ago, you'd have been put in a sanitarium.
Is Sergio Garcia a valid runner and rider?
Without question. 65. Yeah. 65 in the final round for Sergio Garcia. He'll carry a lot of confidence from that round on a difficult golf course, trying to time his run before he gets to Augusta. I know it's difficult to defend any tournament in the world, but the same guys that play Augusta well every year.
Same players, isn't it, always? The veterans, same players.
So, back in the day, you could guarantee
Couples
that
and Langer still
Crenshaw
show
always played well there. Langer always played well there. Olathar will play. It's the same guys. Couples still plays well there. Langer still plays well there. They get it. And if you get it and you're a great player, you're going to be in with a chance. There's so many that have a chance this year.
Garcia was fourth, incidentally, and he is certainly progressing well as he looks to defend at Augusta. We need the top 10 in the world.
World number one, Dustin Johnson, still at the top of the pile, but the pack are closing in. Justin Thomas is number two, John Rahm third, Jordan Spieth fourth, who missed the cut this week, by the way. Justin Rose had a great run and didn't have the last round he would have wanted at the Valspar, but he's fifth. Hideki Matsuyama, sixth. Ricky Fowler, seventh. Brooks Koepka, eighth. Sergio Garcia, ninth. and Jason Day rounds out the top 10. But just outside the top 10, some Europeans. Tommy Fleetwood, Paul Casey, Rory McIlroy, Tyrrell Hatton, Henrik Stenson, all in a row with Alex Noren 17th.
200 days to go until the 2018 Ryder Cup. How do the Ryder Cup lists, the European Ryder Cup lists, shape up?
Well, let's go with the world points first of all. A big move from Paul Casey this week. He gets himself into 10th spot, nudging Rory back into 11th. Ross Fisher is 9, Alex Noren 8. Now, the ones that count are Rafa Cabrera-Bella 7th, but he's the 4th player to qualify. Matthew Fitzpatrick is 6th on that list. Sergio Garcia is 5th. He qualifies on the list. Tommy Fleetwood qualifies. Tyrrell Hatton 3rd. John Rahm qualifies. And Justin Rose, the number one player. But the ones that are in between those ones that have qualified, they qualify on the European points list. The first 4 players make it through, which is Hatton, Rose, Fisher and Fitzpatrick. And you read those 8 together, you've got Hatton, Rose, Fisher, Fitzpatrick, Rahm, Fleetwood, Garcia, Rafa, Cabrera, Bayo, as we stand.
Just on the American team, Tiger Woods looks like he might be playing now. I mean, he can't be a vice captain as well, can he?
No.
Can't do both.
No, there's no way you can do both, because even if you're not the captain, even if you're a vice captain, there's so much stuff you've got to do. There is no way. Trust me, if Tiger Woods continues as he's going, if the graph stays in the same incline, no one is going to be happier than Jim Furyk. I think Tiger's learned a lot about himself, being in the background at the President's Cup and being outside looking in instead of being in the bubble, being one of the players. He's been outside looking in. I think that's...
He's going to be a better player in the Ryder Cup.
I just think, you know, this week in his interviews with Tim Barter on Sky, he was... The defence mechanism wasn't there. The automatic shut you off. I putted well. Great, you got it. You know, all that stuff was gone. He talked about his golf and he talked about his answers and he talked about how he felt. I saw a new Tiger Woods, and the world is waiting with bated breath to see what he can produce next week at the Arnold Palmer, and then fast forward to Augusta National.
Woods, incidentally, is up to 31st on the American Ryder Cup points list. Elsewhere, Tawan Wirachand defeated Clark Dennis and Peter Fowler in a 4-hole playoff at the Sharjah Senior Golf Masters presented by Sharuk, the first event of the 2018 season. Wirachand also won the final event of last season. Our good friend of the show, Paul Eales, was 8th.
Very good for Paul.
Good effort.
A little bit of coin in the bank account, very nice.
Gordon Brand Jr., another friend of the show, 50th.
Definitely, yeah.
50th.
Yeah, but you can't...
Still competing.
You can't peak every week, as you know.
Exactly. That's why I'm not on every week. What about this for innovation on the European Tour? Male and female golfers will compete together at the inaugural European Golf Team Championships to be held at Glen Eagles this August. They'll compete for equal prize money in both the men's and women's team match play tournament, as well as an 18-hole mixed foursome stroke play event. Players will team up to represent their respective countries. The tournament forms part of the 2018 European Championships, a multi-sport event being staged jointly in Glasgow and Berlin. We already know that men and women will compete together at the European Tour's Golf Sixes event in May. This is another terrific innovation from the world of golf.
Yeah, great stuff. I think there's room for it. I think we have Morocco where... And the same week at the same venue, you've got ladies playing and men playing, not on the same golf course, but they're playing at the same venue. I think there is room for a little bit of synergy, no doubt about it.
It is a blank week next week on the European Tour. So, a quarter of the way through the season, let's take a look back at some predictions from the start of the calendar year.
Uh-oh.
That's when the European Tour website made some prophecies for 2018. We got your reaction at the time, but I want you to tell me if these look more or less likely in the 2 months since they first appeared. First up, Tyrrell Hatton to finish inside the top 5 in a major championship.
Equally as likely.
Equally as likely.
Yes.
So you were confident at the start anyway.
I've got him nailed on for top 5, so yeah.
Third in
Nothing's
Mexico.
Changed.
Played well in the WGC.
Nothing's changed. The boy can play.
Rory McIlroy to win his 5th major, missed cuts 2 in his last 4 on the PGA Tour. More or less likely?
More likely.
More likely because?
Because when he came out of the lull and the rust and finished 3rd and 2nd, that's not going to disappear. He's now had a few shaky events that he's not played like he would have done or wanted to. Let's see what he does this week at the Arnold Palmer.
Putting is what I keep reading.
Rory's a streak player. He gets on a roll and he's untouchable. And then he kind of falls off the bicycle for a little while and then he comes back and he does the same thing. So when he's on, he is the best player in the world, in my view. So
most likely win for him then in a major, which event? Carnoustie for the Open.
He's yet to convince me. He's yet to convince me, even though Augusta is absolute, and I've got him down to win at Augusta, but he's yet to convince me that he can cut out the mistakes that he makes, the needless mistakes that he makes in 72 holes around there. It's so hard there to get it back. See, the thing about Rory is he's such a Rolls Royce. He can turn up, and when he's on, he can just look at every fairway that's 340 down there and look at every flag. Doesn't matter where they put the flag, he'll look at the flag, and that's where the ball goes. And he can play like that, and he knows that. So sometimes when he's not quite on, he still plays that way and makes needless mistakes. Augusta, not only is it about playing the par fives well, it's about really reducing the slack in your game. And he hasn't done that yet, Rory, around there, because if he had done that, he'd have won it by now. I've still got him down to win at Augusta.
John Rahm to reach world number one. He's won on the PGA Tour this year. More or less likely?
I think that is more likely.
Okay. Europe to bounce back in the Ryder Cup
That's
and win.
That's more likely.
Because?
Because I think we've got a bunch of... We know about the Americans.
Are our players playing better than at the start of the season? Is that what you're saying?
The Americans were cock-a-hoop at the President's Cup.
But cocker?
Cock-a-hoop.
Okay.
Have you never heard that expression?
I have, yeah.
Your corner of Harpenden must have reached.
I thought you said something else.
The Americans were cock-a-hoop. When they come to the Ryder Cup, it's them versus the Europeans. There's a definite sense of identity both sides. And I think this time the Europeans, at Le Golf National, as we go through the season, our team is starting to look better and better.
So that's more then?
Yes.
Just to confirm.
Yes.
Li Haotong to win in 2018. Well, that one's done and dusted. Did you say yes or no when we were talking about Li Haotong?
I think Li Haotong is a very gifted player, and I said yes.
And finally, Henrik Stenson.
Find it. Play it back. Find it.
I don't think you did. Henrik Stenson to win again in 2018. More or less likely?
Less likely.
Oh.
Well, he's... Miscut
Valspar. Decent performances in Europe.
Henrik, throughout his life and his career, it has been, yes, I'm unbeatable, and then I can't seem to do anything. He's hot and cold. There's no grey area with Henrik.
So
he's
this is a less for you.
I think he's in a cold period.
This is a less at the moment for Henrik. OK, excluding those players who have already won this season, which young golfers have caught your eye with their performances so far? So outside winners on tour.
Oh, outside winners. Mm. That's a good one. I tell you who's caught my eye. Beef has caught my eye.
OK.
Because I think Beef is an underrated player. That's what I think. And I think when I watch him play and I watch him his whole game, it's really, really good. So I think I'm really pleasantly invigorated by the form of Andrew Beef Johnson.
Well, that wraps it up for now. Join us on the Race to Dubai show next week when we'll be previewing the WGC Dell Technologies match play in Austin, Texas. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat at europeantour.com or by downloading the official European Tour app. And don't forget that you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and get Robert Lee in your ear almost every week.
How good is that?
But for now, from Mr. Lee...
Goodbye!
And from myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We'll see you next time.